Welcome to the CSL Olympia podcast. In this episode, you will hear an opening prayer, followed by a talk. You can learn more about us at our website, cslolympia.org. Blessings.
Taking this breath, I know that there is only one breath. There is one heart, one mind. That is all that there is. The allness of this cosmos that permeates and saturates everything with its being. This being being imperishable, immutable, infinite, and eternal. That which expresses as joy and happiness in the midst of all things, in the midst of all experience. I call it God. It is known as spirit or Buddha mind or the great mystery. But this divine presence is ineffable, unable to be limited by the limitations of our language, but I see it in everything that I come across. It is in the amble of the black bear down the hill after its hibernation rest. It is in the full spectrum of colors in an old-growth rhododendron garden. And it is in the beauty of the mottled sky at midday. It is in all of these things and so much more. And as there is not a spot that this divine presence is not, I must be of it. I am beyond unified with this divine presence. It is inseparable, unable to be removed or found in any place. I am this infinite expression of the one in this finite form. And as this is the truth of me, this is the truth for everyone here as well, that they are like waves cresting out from the ocean, laying down upon the shore and falling back into the ocean, never separate from that one, never separate from that ocean, but always a beautiful divine expression of it. And so it is from this place of consciousness, this awareness, that I speak my word right here, right now. That everyone here shines in the midst of all experience, that they do not overlook their essential self by becoming absorbed in or identified with the content of experience, thereby losing touch with their innate peace and happiness. And so I stand in divine alignment with each one here, that there is recognition, that at the core of every emotion, that at the core of their existence is calm and joy and love. And I know for each one that this is their truth. This is the truth of their being, that they are worthy of this. This is their divine birthright to immerse themselves in that truth. And so it is with great gratitude that I express this word. Gratitude for the truth that is known. Gratitude for the law that brings everything into form. Gratitude to be in communion with one another and to be in communion with God. And so I release this word into that law of mind, feeling, sensing, and knowing that it has always been true and shall remain so forever. And so it is.
This whole year, we are looking at the idea of living everyday wonder, approaching life with a sense of wonder, with a sense of curiosity, instead of a sense of certainty, and I know how it is. And this month, we're looking at emotions, and today, we're going to talk about that wonderful emotion of anger. And our talk title is Looking Anger in the Eye. Looking Anger in the Eye. So there's a Hindu story that I want to start off with. It's a Hindu story of a war happening between the gods. between the gods and the demons. And the demons are winning this war. And so the gods all look to the goddess Durga. And Durga is known as the goddess of mothering and compassion. And why you would look to mothering and compassion in the middle of a battle is interesting. We'll talk about it in a moment. And so they look at her to do something about this situation. And so out of her forehead springs this goddess called Kali. And Kali, let me bring up a picture of Kali. This is a photograph taken of Falcon. No, it's a drawing that's quite common. And Kali is this intense warrior goddess. She's got a sword and a club in her right hands, and she's got a noose and the vanquished head of the king demon in her left hand, along with a bowl of his blood. And then she's standing this guy. I'm not sure what that's about. Well, maybe we'll explore that in a minute. But this is Kali, and I'm not going to leave this image up for long because for some people it may be disturbing. But that is Kali, the warrior goddess. And she kills all the demons. But then in her frenzy, as she's in this killing mode, she starts killing everything else, everybody else. And so she starts killing all these people until the god Shiva, who is the ultimate god, the high god, the god of, you might say, complete truth, throws himself into her path. And as she steps on him, she comes back to herself. This is an interesting story about anger. Let's unpack it a bit. So in Hinduism, life is often perceived as a battlefield, of a battle between the forces of good and evil, and with the idea that this battle exists within all of us all the time. We are always engaged in this choice point, let's call it, instead of battle, this choice point of where we're going to put our attention, where we're going to direct. And then interestingly, it is from Durga, known as a mother figure, although she herself can be a fierce warrior, that Kali springs forth. When we think of compassion, Durga as the goddess of compassion, we think of compassion as soft and caring. But as with Durga, when necessary, it can burst forth as the fiercely protective mother. You know, anybody who wanders in the woods knows not to come between a mother bear and her cubs. You know, and I've seen the fierceness of mothers to protect their children, as we all have. So in this case, this fierceness is represented by Kali. One way our anger gets motivated is when we see an individual or a group of people being oppressed in some way. That can trigger off our anger. And then out of compassion, we are called to move into action. The true meaning of compassion is awareness of the suffering of another and the desire to alleviate that suffering. And Kali represents both the best and the worst of anger. Healthy anger acts to accomplish what needs to be done. Kali does this. She does what needs to be done. But like Kali, after the job is done, the energy of anger can just keep on going and going and going. It's kind of like the Ever Ready Bunny. And it does harm even to those who it came to help. Shiva, representing the holistic perspective, seeing the whole picture, not just the immediate battle, brings Kali back to her own true nature. As Tim said in his lovely opening prayer, our true nature is that nature of love and of peace and of joy, of happiness. It brings us back to that. To be mindful of some oppression without seeking to resolve it, without seeking to alleviate it, is just what I call a watery pity. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I feel sorry for that. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to walk away. That's just pity. It's our feeling of the fire of anger, the desire to alleviate the suffering, which moves us into action. But like fire, it's dangerous. Anger is dangerous. It can light a nice contained fire to warm our homes or to cook a meal, but it can also burn down the whole house out of control or burn down the whole forest. Sandy, take a breath. Yes. Who's a person who's known what that's like to have the whole house and the whole forest burn down around her? Anger can be like that. It can spread and take out everything. Like all emotions, it's only healthy in short, focused bursts. And like fire, it's best handled by somebody who is grounded, who is self-aware, who knows how to handle it, and who can handle it while seeing the larger picture. And just as anger can spring from compassion, it takes compassion to direct anger, to be mindful of how and where we want to act. Sharon Salzberg, in her book, Real Change, says, when you practice mindfulness of anger, you are working toward engaging with anger and all the emotions and thought that arise with presence and compassion, with remembering that you are in and as a presence and expressing with compassion. Anger tends to polarize us into believing that we're fighting an evil. It can seduce us into taking positions, you know, the I'm right, you're wrong position. I know none of you have ever done that, but you know people. All you have to do is kind of look at the news and you see a whole lot of people doing that. But in reality, there is, in capital R reality, there is no evil. There's only oneness. Ernest Holmes says the practitioner, and by practitioner in this case, he doesn't mean a licensed practitioner, but one practicing this teaching, practicing this process. The practitioner does not fight evil. They know there is no evil. Interesting perspective. So this is the Shiva truth that underlies all apparent conflict and calms the apparent fire of anger and directs it to wise usage. There are other ways that we can misuse anger. We've all known people who are angry all the time. They're always on a crusade for some cause or another, or they're always sure that they or somebody else is being wronged or misunderstood or unappreciated, often by authority figures, and they abuse anger as a motivator, often with devastating consequences. I have a good friend who was always, always angry. And I kept him as a friend for a long time until one day he decided to turn that anger at me. And it's just like, no, I ain't gonna hang with you, dude, not like that. And so we know people who just use anger that way. And it's devastating to those around them, and it's devastating to their own selves, their own bodies, their own relationships, their own life energy. Anger is a motivator, but it's healthy only in small directed doses. And that exposes us to another aspect of anger, another danger of anger, and especially that's prolonged anger. It can be a cover emotion. That is, it hides what we're really feeling. We're hiding the emotion that really wants to be felt. You know, Byron Katie says that usually when we're involved in somebody else's life, and especially angry and involved, we're not paying attention to our own life. And it's because it's so much easier to look out there and try and deal with that out there than it is to look within and deal with our own life. She says there are three kinds of businesses we can be in: God's business, other people's business, and our own business. And the only one we should be in is our own business. For many, it's far more acceptable to be angry at that out there, somebody else, that other, than it is to feel our own fear, hurt, sadness, our own distrust of life, or even our own happiness if we've been conditioned that feeling happy is wrong. And some people have. Like any of the emotions, it can become addictive. I'm angry, therefore I am. I only feel alive when I'm angry. And it can be addictive. Join me in taking a breath. Like any of the emotions, it must be felt all the way through to completion in order to free ourselves and become aware of the underlying existence of the love, joy, freedom that we are. It's always present underneath everything. The current emotions. And like all the emotions, anger is triggered by our conditioned beliefs in right, wrong, duality. And having a strong grounding in spiritual principle and not being pulled hither, thither, like, you know, putting a ring in our nose and being pulled around by our conditioned ideas of what's right, what's wrong, by conditioned circumstances out there. Having that strong foundation provides us with a deep knowing, with a deep way of being, to feel our emotions without getting swept away. To feel, to be grounded in that feeling, to be able to allow them to flow through and not stuff them, not repress them, to feel them, but not get torn away by them. Trusting that we can experience the energy in motion, that is emotion, without letting it run us. And we can remember that while we experience our emotions, they are not who we are. They are experiences we have, but we are more than just our emotions. And we can cultivate the feelings we choose to experience. This is one of the things we teach here. We can cultivate the feelings we choose to experience in life. Instead of being like Pavlovian dogs and responding to the little tinkling bell of our own conditioning or the stimulation of outside circumstances, we create by contemplation. We create by allowing our thought to focus on the desired outcome. Whether we do this consciously or unconsciously, we create by contemplation. And it's not just the thoughts, but it's the feelings. The thoughts create the outcome, but the feelings color the nature of the outcome. So if we're contemplating in a field of anger, or if we're contemplating in a field of hurt or fear, our experiences will tend to mirror those outcomes. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." It said that in the story of Kali that I just talked about, that when Shiva threw himself under her feet and she came to awareness, she was totally embarrassed. In one version of the story, she even cut out her tongue out of embarrassment, out of shame for the fact that she had just kept right on going. So whatever is begun in anger ends in shame. Eckhart Tolle says, where there is anger, there is always pain underneath. Wherever there is anger, there is always pain underneath. And it's more important, rather than feeling and acting on the anger, to start to say, what's underneath this? If I lift this rock, what's really underneath this? So while there may be a circumstance which triggers compassion-based anger, it is best to step back from that anger, becoming grounded and acting from that groundedness, from that centeredness, from that perspective, that Shiva consciousness perspective. So we don't end up like Kali and end up killing everything and everyone around us. Instead, we let mindfulness of anger be a doorway into greater understanding of both ourself and the condition or person before us. Ask, what is this anger really about? One of my favorite quotes out of A Course in Miracles is, I'm never upset for the reason I think. God, I hate that phrase sometimes. I want to just be angry. And I know it's that person or that circumstance. But the truth is, I'm never angry for the reason I think. So when I'm willing to step back from the battle, when I'm willing to take that breath and step away, I can see more clearly. And by doing so, that often dissipates the conflict. Or it becomes lessened. And it doesn't matter, this is a hint, it doesn't matter whether the other person knows this or does this, because it's all within me. I am the creator of my experience of life. I've been in conflicts with people where I've actually caught myself and shifted my energy in direct conversation with them, and all of a sudden it just all dissipates. Once I let go of my position, in which I'm deeply grounded, there's no position to fight over. It isn't about suppressing or denying the emotions. It's about feeling the emotion without reacting from it. And this can be especially challenging with anger, because anger is this action energy. It's the, you know, in the fight, flight, or freeze spectrum, it's the fight energy. And so there's this desire to do something. And so it takes a deep consciousness, a deep grounding, and knowing ways to calm yourself before the anger even starts, so that you have this deep practice within you, so when the anger comes up, you can catch yourself and say, wait a minute. A, I'm never angry for the reason I think I am, and B, what's really going on underneath this? And C, can I be in that Shiva consciousness that sees something larger than the immediate circumstance? We want to be in that practice where we can calm ourselves before it arises. And we can stand in that Shiva power in the eye of the storm of anger. This is why the talk title is, can we looking anger in the eye? It's the eye of the storm. It's that place of peace within the anger. And saying, whatever this is, God is here too. Spirit, infinite presence is here too. Let me see this. Let me pierce through all the storm that's happening around and come to this center. Let me find that place, listen to spirit from spirit within me, and then create from there. Rather than reacting from circumstance, we create from centeredness. Anger feels like and pretends to be power. But real power, if you ever study martial arts, you learn to be grounded and you learn to not react to what the other person is doing. You learn to stay centered. And so real power comes from a centered, grounded position rather than an out of control, off balance reaction. So this week, I'm going to invite you to be willing to sit mindfully with anger. Take a breath. Sit mindfully with anger. Ask, where does anger live in my life? And by the way, don't take the cop out and say, oh no, I've threw all my anger. I don't have any anger left. And check your pulse. And if you have a pulse, you probably are still dealing, at least in some small degree, with anger. And maybe when the person cuts you off in line at the grocery store or on the highway, it may be that person that still you're angry at for something from the past. So just ask, where does anger live in my life? When you locate it, invite it to sit down and chat. And ask it, what are you really about? What are you really about? Remember, it's never the reason you think. And then ask, what are you here to teach or to show me? What am I being called to learn from this anger? And it's not that there's somebody or something out there calling us to learn. It's like, what am I calling myself to learn from this point and this place of anger within me? What's being called forward here? Perhaps it's a deeper forgiveness of an old hurt, which you thought where you were complete with. Perhaps it's to recognize the source of unhappiness in the world as simply being ignorance and misunderstanding and fear, and then learning greater compassion for people, greater compassion for the world. And finally, practice listening to anger with love. Love heals all. So are you willing to have that conversation? Are you willing to sit with that anger and be mindfully with it this week? If you are, yes. I want to close with a quote. It's an extension of the quote that I did earlier from Ernest. The practitioner does not fight evil. They know there is no evil. Love is the victor in every case. Love breaks down the iron bars of thought, shatters the walls of conditioned belief, severs the chain of bondage which thought has imposed, and sets the captive free. I invite you to bring love to your anger. And so I want to do an affirmation to support that. So join me in saying this. I feel and direct my emotions wisely. I feel and direct my emotions wisely. And so it is. So let us take a breath and move into a centered space of remembering that there is only one. Whatever name we've given it, it's beyond all the names. any God we can figure out is not really God. And so we open to that. We open to that infinite presence beyond name, beyond description, beyond our being able to figure it out. That presence of just love, wholeness, life, abundantly, opulently expressing. And remember that is ultimately all there is. That is underneath, above, beside, within, without, all of life. It is all that there is. And because it is, the great news is we have to be one of that, because there's nowhere else to be. There's not a single aspect of our being, physical, mental, or emotional, or any other way, that is not this infinite presence in form. So we ourselves are love and wholeness and joy and life. That is our true nature. And so I speak my word that we allow ourselves to experience that. We let the emotions be felt, contemplated, and released, and move and discover that essence of who we are, that essence of who all of life is, no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what the smoke and mirrors and shouting and yelling and all that stuff that goes on by all this stuff in our lives, in the world, that behind it all, there's only this infinite presence. We look through the eye of the storm to that presence. And I'm grateful that we allow ourselves to rest in that presence, to know that presence, to be, let that presence be our center. And knowing this is so for each of us, I release this word into that which we call the law, the process of it manifesting in, through, and as our lives, here and now, and all of life, here and now. And so it does, and so it is.